Take your Bible and go back, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, where the Bible says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." Now, we're going to talk tonight about that which is the Holy Ghost. And sometimes people do not understand exactly who he is or what he does. And so tonight we're going to describe some of the attributes of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit, and also help us to understand some of the things that he does in us and through us to be able to help other people. Now, last week, here's what we talked about. We talked about that which was the Trinity, the triune Godhead. We said that, of course, the Trinity is three in one. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Now, tonight, we're going to go in detail about the Holy Ghost. Follow me, if you will, in your outline. There's many names in the Bible for that which is the Holy Spirit. He is called the Holy Ghost as well. And so if you hear somebody saying Holy Ghost, that's not saying something that is wrong. That is a Bible term. As long as we're looking at other Bible terms too, we're going to see there's many names or if you would please, many different titles for that which is the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, I read it a moment ago as our text verse. The Bible says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." So one of the names that he has is the Holy Ghost. Another name that he has is found in Romans chapter 1 and in verse 4, where the Bible says, "According to the Spirit of holiness." And so he is called the Spirit of holiness. Now, we have to be careful that we do not live a lifestyle that would grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is holy. And so we've got to be careful that, that scared you, didn't it? But we got to be careful. I don't know what that was. Do we know what that was? We have no idea what that was, huh? Okay. There's the Spirit of holiness. All right. That's a title for him. Okay. Statement number three. He's called the Comforter. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 16, the Bible says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And now that Comforter is one that walks beside. The same word, Comforter, is the word Paraclete, which means, it means this. It means that he's always abiding and always walking along. He's always comforting. He's always there with you. Did you know that you will face things in your life that other people face in their life, but they're not comforted simply because of the fact they're not saved? When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to abide with you, and he never leaves you. He's the one that does stick closer than a brother. Now, stay with me now, and he's always there. Now, he's there with you during the high times, during the middle times, and during the low times. So he's always there with you, and he's there to comfort you. That's how come a person that can rely on God, and God can help him, and God can comfort him in times of stress, in times of problems. You know, I was laying on that table, and those doctors were getting that knife out, and boy, they were getting ready to cut me. And boy, I tell you, I'm laying on that, and Brother Lewis was laughing at me as I was telling him the story. But I was laying, boy, I was just sweating, and boy, sweat was pouring off my back, and boy, my face was red, and sweat was pouring down my face, and I was crying, "Abba, Father, amen." You know, just because of the fact that it was a painful thing. But did you know, the Holy Spirit can comfort us through times of stress. He can comfort us and help us through that which is a difficult time. So he's called the Comforter. He's called the Spirit of grace. Listen to it. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29, the Bible says, he was sanctified, it says, the unholy thing, and have done despite, it says, the Spirit of grace. And so he's the one that can take the unholy and make it holy. He has the Spirit of grace, all right? He can take something that does not look graceful and turn it into something that looks graceful. He can take somebody that looks like they are a disgrace and turn it into somebody that is graceful, okay? And so he is the Spirit of grace. Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, the Bible says the law, it says, of the Spirit of life. And so he's the Spirit of life. The Bible says in Christ Jesus had made us free from the law of sin and death. All right. So he is the one that makes us free from that which is the law of sin and death. Now, why? Because he is the Spirit of life. You know, you and I were dead before salvation. The Bible says in trespasses and sin. But when you get saved, the Bible says that God quickens you. That word quickens means that he made you alive. He brought life into you. He quickened you. Now, how did he do that? The Holy Spirit came in to you at salvation. And because his spirit, stay with me, is always alive, then it brought life into you. See, a man without Christ is dead. A man without Christ is dead in trespasses and sin. That's why he doesn't see the wrong with it. He's dead in it. He's surrounded by it. He's covered up by it. But what happens now when you get saved, then God raises you above sin. You're not held in captivity of sin any longer. You're not bound by sin any longer, but now you ride above sin. You're not covered. Okay, it's one thing to ride on top of the horse. It's another thing to be bucked off of the horse, laying in the mud puddle with all the mud surrounded around you. All right? Illustration. When you get saved, God brings you out of the mire. He brings you out of the mud. You don't have to walk, you don't have to drown in sin any longer. Now that's by way of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14 verse 17, the Bible says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now why can the world not receive him? Because they're not saved. They can try to receive. Okay, you see people all the time that say, oh boy, I tell you what, an evidence of being filled with the Spirit of God is speaking in tongues. Well, that's not true. Matter of fact, there's only one church in the Bible that spoke in an unknown tongue as what they talk about, and Paul himself rebuked them. All right, now wait a minute, watch this if you will. Here's what you see according to your Bible. The world cannot receive him. Why? Because because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. You can't know him until you know God the Father. You can't know God the Father until you come through the Son. So when you come through the Son, you get to know God the Father, and you are endued by that which is the Holy Spirit of God. But ye know him, why? Because he dwelleth with you, and ye shall be, and he shall be in you. All right, so he is always inside of you. Amen. You are a soul that has a body if you're saved, possessed by the Holy Spirit of God. All right. And so the Bible teaches that he's the Spirit of truth. The Bible teaches he's the Spirit of God. I love this. The Bible says over the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, you notice in the scriptures over the book of Genesis, chapter 1, the Bible talks about that we are made in it uses, if you would please, we are made, you and I are made in our, uses the word our image. All right, who is that? We're made in the image of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. You are three in one. You have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. You are three in one. You identify with the very creational fact of the way that God made you with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. All right? Just by the sheer fact that you exist, you identify with all three of that which is the Godhead. All right? Then notice, he's called the Holy Spirit. Book of Luke, chapter 11 and verse 13, the Bible says, and ye then says, being evil, it says, know how to give good things. Now, he's talking about that which is a parent given to that which is a child. It says, unto your children. It says, watch it. How much more then shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So he says, now look, if you know how to give that which is good, even though you're evil, unto your children, then how much more shall God himself give you that which is the Holy Spirit? And so he's called the Holy Spirit. He's called the Spirit of the Lord. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. He's called the oil of gladness. Listen to it. The Bible says, even God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness, it says, above thy fellows. And so he's called the oil of gladness. He's called the Spirit of promise. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, in whom also ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, it says, the gospel of your salvation, listen to it now, in whom also ye believed, ye were sealed, I love this, ye were sealed, it says, with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, what is that? So he seals you. Once you're saved, stay with me, you are saved forever. Now, why? Because you are sealed by the Holy Ghost. You are sealed. Why? Because God gave you a promise. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Don't say he that hath the Son and liveth, or he that hath the Son and is baptized, or he that hath the Son and goeth to church, or he that hath the Son and is good. No, it's simply he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. That's what the Bible teaches. All right? So statement number one, I said this. There are many names in the Bible to the Holy Ghost. Statement number two, the Holy Ghost, like God the Father, has some wonderful attributes. Number one, he's eternal. He's eternal. You don't have to worry about his flame dying out. You don't have to worry about him being here today and gone tomorrow. He is a part of the Godhead. He is eternal. Hebrews chapter 19 and verse 14, the Bible says, it says, through the eternal spirit. So it's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's eternal. Through the eternal spirit, it says, offered himself without spot unto God. And so he has always been, he always is, and always will be. He is eternal. All right? Wait a minute. He's omnipresent. Oh, I love this. Listen to what it talks about the Spirit. The Bible says over in Psalm 139, verse 7, the Bible says, whether it says, shall I go from thy Spirit? So he's talking about the Spirit. He says, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend, it says, up into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, it says, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the othermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand, listen to it now, lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. All right? So he said, I'm going to lead you through the rough times. I'm always there with you. Why? Because he is omnipresent. He is there everywhere you go. You can't outrun him. I mean, he is there. You say, I wish he'd leave me alone. He's not going to leave you alone. Now, thank God he doesn't leave you alone. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. It's only by the Holy Spirit of God that you know that you're saved tonight. So don't ever think, well, I tell you what, I just wish he'd leave me alone. Don't ever think that that's the right thing to wish. Look, you cannot do work without him. You cannot accomplish without him. You cannot be what you ought to be in public without him. He's the one that can help you every single step of the way. He is the eternal of that which is the Godhead, and he is that comforter. He is omnipresent, and he's always there with you forever. Now, wait, watch this. Listen to it. The Bible talks about he's omnipotent. Listen to it. Luke chapter 13 and verse 5, the Bible says, the angel answered and said unto her, Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The Bible says, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Of course, this is talking about the time of Mary coming with child. And the Bible says that it was by the Holy Ghost. So he's omnipotent. He is all powerful. There's nobody more powerful than he is. Okay, wait a minute. He's omniscient. He is omniscient. Now, what does that mean? That means he's all knowing. Oh, wait a minute. Watch this. Did you know that a soul winner ought to rely on the Holy Ghost, ought to rely on the Holy Spirit when you go soul winning? You know why? Because he'll bring, listen to me now, he'll bring verses back to you that you have forgotten. Have you ever done that? Have you ever gone soul winning and all of a sudden you started to quote a verse and you don't know where it came from? Now, I'm not getting spooky on you. I'm just telling you about the Holy Spirit. He's the one that brings it back to our remembrance. You say, but Brother Wells, I'm studying for Bible college and I've got to memorize this whole chapter and I don't know what to do. Look, it's a whole lot harder to do it without him than it is to do it with him. Because he's the one, if you rely on him, you know, if we yield ourselves to him, he's the one that can help us to memorize scripture. He's the one that can bring it back to us. He's the one that can help us to remember what the Bible teaches. Look, that, you know what that means? That means that he can bring back principles of child rearing when you need it. And you say, but I've just read it one time. But he knows that. And he saw you read it that one time. And he can take that one time and bring it back to your remembrance and help you to be able to relate that to your children. That's why we need to be surrendered. That's why we need to be submissive. That's why we need to take and just decide that we're going to be everything that God wants us to be. Why? Because when you do that, God can help you with your child rearing. God can help you with your marriage that way. Now, why? Because he is all-knowing. Not only that, he's holy. Listen to it. The Bible says in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, the Bible says, and if, now watch it now, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good things. The Bible says good gifts unto your children. How much more? We read this a moment ago. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now watch what it says. Give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. If you look that up, that word spirit right there is talking about flawless. Flawless. And so the Holy Spirit is flawless. By the way, it's not a noun here, it's an adjective. It's describing his character. He is flawless in his character. That's why God says we're supposed to be holy even as he is holy. Do you know when you take in unholy things, stay with me. When you take in unholy things inside of your eye gate, inside of your ear gate, when you start to think about that which is unholy things, it is offensive to the Holy Spirit. Now, he is a person that gets offended. And I am not supposed to offend him. I ought to be so yielded to God, and I ought to be so tender towards God that I would not do anything that would be harmful to the person of the Holy Spirit. I'm tender towards my children, but I ought to be more tender towards the Holy Spirit. I am tender towards my wife, but I ought to be more tender toward the Holy Spirit. The more tender I am, I submit it to you, the more tender I am towards the Holy Spirit, the more tender I'll be towards my wife. The more tender I am towards the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I'm easily offended. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Maybe you're greatly offended because you're not walking with the one that can protect you and teach you not to be offended about things that's not worth being offended over. The Holy Spirit is only offended by that which is sin that's brought in, that we bring into his presence. Now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. And so the Holy Spirit, he's all-knowing. He is holy. The Bible says he's true. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 6, the Bible says, and listen to it, this is he that it says came by water. Now listen to it, and by blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, or not by, it says water and blood. Now listen to it, it says, it is the Spirit that beareth witness because the Spirit is truth. So every time a preacher gets up and he preaches truth, you've got a spirit inside of you that bears witness. Look, have you ever done this? Have you ever sat there and there's a part of you when the preacher preaches, there's a part of you that says, that makes me mad. Then there's another part of you that says, you ought to submit to that. Now, let me ask you a question. If it is truth, stay with me. If it is truth, and it does come from the Bible, stay with me, should you submit to it or run from it? Talk to me. Should you submit to it or run from it? All right. So when the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, when that man of God or that Sunday school teacher gets up and they teach you the Bible, when there is something inside of you that says that's right, stay with me, then should I run to it or should I run from it? I should run to it. It doesn't matter if my flesh agrees with it. Okay, so man of God gets up. Don't get mad at me, but the man of God gets up and he nails your sin. Should you get mad at the man of God that nails your sin because you know it is sin? Or should you agree with the Spirit and try and get control of the sin? See, we have to understand who we're dealing with. We are dealing with the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go on. Watch this. Statement number three, and I'm hastening to a close here. Statement number three, he is a person. He is a person. All right? So understand that he is not an it. He is not an idea, but he is a person. The Bible says in John chapter 15 and verse 26, the Bible says, when the Comforter has come, it says, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. The Bible says, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. He is a person. God the Father called him a he. He didn't call him an it. He didn't call him an idea, but he is a he. Look, when you got saved, now you're not walking alone. Now you don't have to worry. Okay, so a problem has come. Okay, so there's stress in your life. You don't have to face it by yourself. You've got somebody that's bigger than you are. You've got somebody that's greater than you are. You've got somebody that can help you. Who is he? He's called the Holy Spirit of God. That's who he is. All right, now wait a minute. Here's what you see tonight. You see this. You see that he is a person. Now, what type of person is he? Well, he's invisible. You can't see him. Well, preacher, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut me open and I'm going to look inside. First off, don't do that. Been there, got the t-shirt, it hurts. All right? So I would not do that. But I would do this. I would take God's word at it. The Bible says, listen to it, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. The Bible says, even so, things, it says, of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So he is an invisible person that knoweth all things. He can identify. Now, I'll show you something. Let me prove it to you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 30, the Bible says, and it says, and the love of the Spirit. He's the one that can help you to love your enemies. You cannot, man, you're awful quiet on that one. You cannot love your enemies by yourself. You cannot forgive others with your flesh. That's why when the Bible says, it's talking about turn ye the other cheek, it's not talking about turn ye the other person's cheek. But rather it's talking about you taking the rebuttal, you taking the shame, you taking, amen. Sometimes I think, here's what we do. We think that we become so Christ-like that everybody else is lower than us. Now that's called pride. May I remind you, it's equal at the cross for all men. Amen. Whoever you think you're so high and mighty that you're above somebody else, you're too high and mighty. Now, here's what the Bible is talking about here. It's talking about, he shows us how to love. He says the love of the Spirit. You know, you can love somebody that's unlovable. Did you know that? Did you know you can love somebody that talks bad about you? You can love your wife when she burns your favorite breakfast 5 times in a row. You can love your dad and your mom. Listen to me. If you're right with God, and you're walking in God's power, you can love your parents when they do wrong. Here's a teenager comes and says, well, I tell you what, I don't love my parents anymore because they did this wrong and this wrong and this wrong. Well, I can tell you something you've done wrong right away is you've not been walking with God, or you'd be able to love them no matter what they did wrong. See, there is the attribute. A woman says, well, I'm going to divorce him because after all, you know, he's just not what I married. Well, you aren't either. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit of God can help us in those relationships. All right, now watch this, if you will. And so, what is he? Teaches us how to love. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11, the Bible says, and it says, the self-same Spirit, it says, dividing every man several, listen to it now, it says, severally, it says, as he will. So, the Holy Spirit of God has a will. He has a will. He has a will to do. He has a will not to do. He has a will to lead and not to lead. He is a person. Now, what happens here? He testifies of Jesus Christ. I'm hurrying now. He testifies of Jesus Christ. John chapter 15 and verse 26, the Bible says, even the Spirit of truth, it says, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now, what is that? That's the bailiff that says, when the judge enters into the courtroom, all rise. The bailiff never draws attention to himself. He always draws attention to what he calls his honor. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit of God does. The Holy Spirit of God never draws attention to himself. Then I've got a problem with some people that try to draw more attention to the Holy Spirit than they do God himself, because God is not for that. When you see people that say, well, stay with me. But you see people that say, well, the evidence of being spirit filled is speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues edifies many times over the individual that says they're doing it. Does it draw attention to them? Or does it draw attention to God? When they're squirming in the aisle, who's getting the attention? See, the Holy Spirit of God, listen to me, that one of the attributes of the Holy Spirit of God is he does not draw attention to himself. Amen. Mrs. Wells has done an admirable job at this. You know, the Bible compares the woman many times over to that which is the Holy Spirit or the Spirit in the home. Mrs. Wells has done an admirable job of this. She has always lifted me up to the children. You know, if a wife doesn't have the right spirit in the home, it's damaging to your children. Have you ever seen a wife that doesn't have the right spirit? All of a sudden, you know, husband tells the wife to do something. She goes stomping off in a rage. You know? What she has done is she has just taught the children how to respect their daddy. Because children will not do as much as you say as they will as you do. But when that's why the Bible talks, you ever notice the identification of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit compared to the identification of that which is a holy woman living in a home? Have you ever noticed how they run parallel? Meek, quiet. Amen. Boy, you men are afraid to say amen. Now, watch this. Watch this. Okay, so he dwells, it says, within his people. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, know ye not that ye, watch it, that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, the Bible says, what know you not? That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. And the Bible says, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. All right, so I have to understand that he dwells inside of me. Now, if he dwells inside of me and he is holy, then maybe I should not be taking anything unholy inside of me. There's more harm than looking at a dirty television show and a dirty DVD than what you think. There's more harm to putting that which is a smoke or taking that which is a drink or some type of alcohol, if you will, or some type of drug or other type of substance that's in the body. Wait a minute. There's more harm to having hate and bitterness wrapped up inside of you than what you realize. Because those things are damaging you. And what it's doing is it's blocking him. Oh, okay. All right. Stand up, Brother Allen. All right. Stand up. Watch this. Okay. All right. I'm going to pretend for a minute. He is the Holy Spirit of God. Okay. He is the Holy Spirit of God. All right. Now, the Holy Spirit of God, I'm supposed to submit to. Turn around. Face that way. I'm supposed to submit to. And I ought to be so close to him that he leads me and I follow. Because as I follow him, here's what takes place. As I follow him, then I know I'm going to make the right choices. That's why every child needs to understand you need to obey God. Every teenager needs to understand you need to submit to the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as I follow him, okay, so a man of God gets up and he's preaching. And if he's preaching in the power of the Holy Ghost, he knows that. But he also knows when he steps out of line. Because the Holy Spirit withdraws. As a husband, you know when you're making right decisions. But you also know when you've stepped out of line. Because you know that the Holy Spirit, you ought to be walking so close to the Holy Spirit of God that you know when he withdraws from you as far as his power is concerned. Now, he never withdraws his presence. But he will withdraw his power. Okay? So as I'm yielded to the Holy Ghost and he leads me, I'm going to make the right decisions. I don't have to worry about how smart I am. I don't have to worry about how much I know about finances. See, God is using the Holy Spirit as my private tour guide. And I'm going down the avenues of life of rearing children that I've never raised before. And I'm going down the avenue of life and I'm trying to make right decisions as a husband, but I don't know what to do in this particular situation. Now I'm trying to make right business deals. Well, wait a minute. Who better to rely on than a personal tour guide sent by God himself? Boy, if you just get a hold of this thing. But if I'm going to make a business decision, then it would be far better to God and for me to connect up with God and make the right business decision than it is for me to step out and hope so. Amen. He is my direct link to God himself. Amen. So I want to stay pure and I want to stay right and I want to stay holy and I want to keep the right type of attitude and I want to be in the right type of place. Why? I don't want to lose my connection with God showing me what to do by way of the Holy Ghost that can help me to take the right steps in every mannerism of life. So what do? I yield myself, go back up. I yield myself to the Holy Ghost. And I'm not used to telling the Holy Ghost what to do. And I yield myself to the Holy Ghost. And the more I yield myself to the Holy Ghost, the more right decisions I make. All right, now stay with me. I don't think you're getting it. Is God perfect? Yes or no? Does God make mistakes? Yes or no? Has God ever made a wrong decision? Yes or no? Is the Holy Ghost of God his direct connection to me? He is. So the more I'm yielded to the Holy Ghost, then the more I make right decisions. Come on. You know, You know, a man that preaches in God's power and a man that doesn't preach in God's power, the only difference is his yieldedness. That's all it is. You know, a person that goes soul winning in God's power and a person that doesn't go soul winning in God's power, the only difference is his yieldedness. That's all it is. You know, a husband that makes the right decisions and a husband that goes off making his own, the only difference is one is yielded and one is not. That's all it is. All right, now watch this if you want. I'll finish it off. Look at John chapter 16, or just listen to it as I read in verse 8. The Bible says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So it is the Holy Spirit that convicts. Now, I'm going to stay tender towards him. Stand back up. I'm going to stay I'm sorry for your note taking, but I'm going to stay tender towards him, okay? And so as I'm walking along and the Holy Spirit stops, then I'm going to stop. If the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart and says, go to the altar, and he's leading me to go to the altar, and I don't go, there is a separation from his leadership and my fellowship. The more of the separation between his leadership and my fellowship, the more I get out of the will of God. Now, his presence does not, listen to me, his presence does not lead me, but his power of persuasion does. All right, come back up here. All right, watch this. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 30, the Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. It says, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So I'm sealed. Now, what does that mean? That means like the crescent ring of somebody in royalty. What they do is they take the crescent ring and they put it on the hot wax. They close the envelope and they seal the envelope with the emblem or the logo of the ring. What does that mean? That means it is sealed by the power of the emblem. All right, the same thing is true. When you got saved, he sealed you onto the day of redemption. That does not change. You have been sealed by royalty. Now, that does not change. You cannot unseal yourself. But it's talking here about that which is God seals the believer in doing the will of God. You're supposed to do the will of God. You're supposed to be sealed. And you're not supposed to try and break the crescent. You put something live inside of there unless it decides to stay dead, which we're supposed to be dead the self. You put something inside of that envelope unless it decides to stay dead, it's going to break the seal. You're not supposed to move. You're supposed to be yielded and simply be like that envelope that is sent wherever God wants to send you. All right, watch this and I'm done. Here it is. I'll finish it off right here. I'm not going to finish the outline. You can read it when you get home. But the Holy Spirit is the one that empowers us for soul winning. And ye shall be, it says, and ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost have come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea. And it says in Samaria and the othermost part of the earth. All right, so he is the one that gives me power to go soul winning on Thursday night. He is the one that gives me power to go soul winning when I go out on Saturday. He is the one that gives me power. Acts chapter 8 and verse 29, the Bible says in the Spirit, it says, said unto Peter, go, it says, near and join thyself unto this chariot. So he's the one that guides me. I won't read the scripture, just give you a thought. He's the one who helps me to understand the word of God. 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 12. He's the one that will resurrect me during the resurrection time, if you would please. All right. He is the one that reproves me. He's the one that provides for me. He's the one that gives me assurance. He's the one that by submitting to him, I can have all victory anytime, anywhere, simply by submitting to him. He is the Holy Ghost. Now, that Holy Spirit of God is a he. And by the way, don't offend him. Amen. Yield to him. You know, when the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, you know how we grieve him? When he tells us to do something, he tries to convince us through conviction, convince us to do something, and we say no, then the grieving time comes. Okay, watch this. Give me this. Just this right here. All right, lead me that way. You know what that is? Okay, that's a child fighting against a parent. You know what that is? That's one man trying to pull another man, and this one man, you know what that is? That's the Holy Ghost of God trying to get you to do something. He wants you to work on a bus route, you keep pulling away. He wants you to sing in a choir, and you keep pulling away. He wants you to take, and he wants you to go soul winning. You ain't going soul winning. And he wants you to take, and he wants you to preach. And I ain't going to preach the Bible. And you know, he's trying to get you to do something. You ain't going to do that. You get over here, big old. And by the way, we're the ones that make the big fuss over it. He's the quiet one. Here's what he does. He just pulls me quietly. Preacher's preaching like stomping on my feet. We're the ones that's making all the racket. The Holy Spirit of God just quietly tugs. Then we complain about everything. And he just tugs. And he just tugs. Best thing you and I could ever do as a dad, or as, if you will please, as a husband, as a wife, as a dad, as a mother, as a child, best thing you and I could ever do is just say, go. Just yield. That's a whole lot easier. After a while, you begin to enjoy it a little bit. Go this way, Holy Spirit. And you know, after a while, it's not. But you ever do this? Preacher preaches one thing one time, and you put the brakes on. Come on. Then it gets tough. You know, it just gets tough. Now, you're not going to outpull him. You're not going to do it. Do we understand who we're talking about tonight? He is a part of the Godhead. So when the Holy Spirit, stay with me, this is closing thought. So when the Holy Spirit tugs on you to do something, stay with me, and you tug against it, you're not just tugging against a little feeling. You're tugging against the creator of the universe. You are tugging against the God of this world. Well, preacher, I'm not going to do it. Your beef's not with me. Oh, no, no, no. Your beef is with somebody a whole lot bigger than me. And you're not taking him down. That's why we need to yield to the Holy Spirit.